Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth explains what you can expect in a new year.
There will be heartaches. There will be hard times, but you can still smile at the future if you have planned for, thought intentionally about how you can walk into this year, walking in God's grace and growing in your relationship with Him.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth, author of A Place of Quiet Rest. For December 31st, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. Women are making all kinds of resolutions about diet, exercise, and finances, and these can be very helpful. When they're in their proper place, all these things flow out of our relationship with God. Nancy's encouraging us to be more intentional about that relationship as we look ahead into the new year.
Matt Emmons is a name that probably is not familiar to you, as it was not to me until I found this on Google. But he is an American sport shooter who competed in the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens. He was one shot away from claiming the gold medal in the 50-meter three-position rifle event. Now, I'm not even sure what all that means, but I know what a gold medal means. And the first nine shots had scored so high that he did not even need a bullseye to win. All he needed for his final shot was to hit the target, and he would be the gold medal winner. So he took aim, he fired, bullseye, but no score came up on the board. And he looked puzzled. He says, I shot. He knew he hit a bullseye. Moments later, the judges informed him that he had made a very rare mistake called a crossfire. It means he had fired at the wrong target. He was standing in lane two, and in the pressure of the moment, he forgot to look at the number of the target through his viewfinder, which he normally did, and he fired at the target in lane three. So his shot was accurate. It was a bullseye. But because he had aimed at the wrong goal, he got a score of zero for that shot. His American teammate, who received a silver medal, said, "He's the best shooter I've ever seen. I can't believe it happened to Matt Emmons." And instead of the expected gold medal, Emmons ended up in eighth place. Today and tomorrow, I want us to think about the importance of aiming at the right goal as we look forward to the year ahead. As we come to a new year, and really a new year is just really the turning of a page on a calendar. There's not anything mystical or magical about the calendar page turning over. But I always find that this is a good chance, whether it's at a birthday or the turning of a year or my spiritual birthday, those are the three times a year, that I stop and consider and try and recalibrate and get my bearings, seek the Lord, and resolve to be the woman He wants me to be by His grace and the power of His Spirit as I go into that next chapter or season of life. And there's biblical basis for this, for celebrating these markers, for looking forward. I think of that passage in Exodus chapter 40, where the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "On the first day of the first month, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting." So the launching of the place of worship was to take place on the first day of the first month of the year. And what was God saying? As you start into a new season, put first things first. Do the important things first. Take care of your spiritual life, your relationship with God, your relationship with the community of faith. Deal with that. Be intentional about it. And I want to encourage you in this session and the next to take time to look in the viewfinder and make sure you're aiming for the right target. The scripture talks about the value of planning and thinking ahead. Proverbs 21, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." If you don't stop and think about what you're doing and how to do it and doing it right, you're going to end up in spiritual poverty. But if you'll take time diligently to plan and seek the Lord, it will lead to abundance. We have that graphic passage in Proverbs chapter 6 where it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler," she doesn't have somebody looking over her shoulder telling her to do this, "she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." She doesn't wait till the last minute to decide what she's aiming at. She thinks ahead to what her needs will be, and how to be prepared for that. And that's part of the idea of planning, setting goals, setting resolutions, thinking, what kind of person do I want to be a year from now? What does God want me to be a year from now? What is He wanting to do in my life? And how can I set my sails to head in that direction? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 tells us that a prudent man, a wise person, foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Look ahead. See, what are some of the traps that lie ahead? What are some of the potential areas of vulnerability? The wise person looks ahead and foresees this could be a situation where I could be vulnerable, and he takes precautions to protect himself from that. But the simple just pass on without thinking. They're thoughtless, they're mindless, they're unintentional, and as a result, they reap consequences. Proverbs 4, verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Ponder, think about it, consider it, consider your ways. The Proverbs 31 woman is a woman who plans ahead. She thinks ahead. Verse 25 tells us that she plans ahead for winter, so she makes sure that her family is not caught off guard, that their clothing needs have been met. She's planning ahead, and as a result, it says she can smile at the future. She's not afraid of the future. It doesn't mean that there won't be problems in the future. There will be hard times, but you can still smile at the future if you have planned for, thought intentionally about how you can walk into this year, walking in God's grace and growing in your relationship with Him. It's so easy to just drift. And that's our natural tendency, not to be careful, but to be careless. And as we move into a new year, it's a good time to think about how to not drift. So many people I find just let life happen. They're not intentional. Life is happening to them. And so minutes that are unevaluated become hours, and hours become days, and days become weeks, and weeks become months, and months become years, and years become decades, and decades become a lifetime. And I think a lot of people who weren't intentional about their moments are going to end up in eternity with a lifetime of very little to show for the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. We need to live intentional, focused lives. The Apostle Paul did not just let life happen to him, as so many of us do. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, whether we live or die, our goal is to be pleasing to the Lord. And then he tells why. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, I won't unpack right now this whole thing of the judgment seat of Christ and for what will Christians be judged, etc., except that we know that the scripture says for believers, there will be a judgment seat. And what we have done with these lives in some way will be scrutinized by the eyes of Him who sees and knows all. And Paul was gripped by a vision of that final award ceremony. He says, because I know what's coming, because I know that there will be this judgment. Most of us don't even think. We go weeks or months without ever thinking of the judgment seat of Christ. When is the last time you thought about it? When is the last time I thought about it? But Paul lived with this in front of him, in front of his vision. And he says, because I see that coming, it causes me to live an intentional, measured, evaluated, thought through life. It helped him to keep his eye on the goal for which God had saved him. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Go for the prize. Don't just lollygag around the track of life. Go for the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And Paul said, they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. That word disqualified, it means to be put on a shelf, to be pulled out of commission. And the Apostle Paul lived with a sense that if he did not run intentionally in the race God had set before him, that he could actually end up being put on a shelf. It didn't mean he would lose his salvation, but he would lose the rewards and the privilege of fulfilling that for which God saved him. Now, if the Apostle Paul had that concern, don't you think we should have that concern? And it's this kind of thinking that informs how we think about goals and resolutions and walking into a new year. So I want to challenge you again, as we come to the close of this year, to pause. Don't just let New Year's Eve and all its celebrations and its partying and its fun and New Year's Day with its football games hijack your life for these next few days. Because then what will happen, it'll be the second and the third and the fourth day of the month, and you'll already be into the flow of things, and you'll be living next year just like you lived this past year. By God's grace, we want to do some things differently this next year than we did this past year. I want to be more intentional, more focused, more fixing my eye on the goal, on the target of God's plan for my life. So take some time to be purposeful, to be intentional, to think through, where does God want you to head in the year to come? Do you even know? If not, you may hit a target, as Matt Emmons did, but it will likely be the wrong one, and you may end up forfeiting the prize that God has in store for you. Some of you have heard the late Pastor Ray Ortland on Revive Our Hearts and his widow, Ann Ortland, who's also been on our program a number of times. Ray went home to be with the Lord back in 2007. But his widow, Ann, shared a list that he wrote when he was 66 years old, a number of years before he went to be with the Lord. She discovered this list after his homegoing, after his death. And I won't read the whole thing, but it just illustrates in an older man. This being intentional. I don't know what occasioned this list. I don't know that it was a new year or a birthday. But he said, these are steps I am taking in courage and obedience to help me establish an inner life of rest and trust in God. And then he said, parentheses, these things don't get me to heaven, but they help heaven get to me. And let me read to you some of the things he wrote down. Regular time set aside every day for reading the Word and for prayer. Now, here is a man who was a very godly servant of the Lord, very faithful servant of the Lord. You heard him on the Haven of Rest radio program for many years. He was my pastor when I was in college. He was a longtime pastor and servant of the Lord. But here at 66 years of age, he was recalibrating. He had spent years and years in the Word of God, but he was reaffirming, I want to set aside time every day for reading of the Word and prayer. If you don't make one other commitment for this year to come, I would hope that would be the one, the first one. And then he said, developing constant contact with God, abiding in Him, humbling myself under God's hand, letting go of ego. These are steps he wanted to take in the coming year. Saying only that which will build others up, watching the mouth. He said, I want to remember that everything I have is His. I want to see what God sees, love what He loves, and hate what He hates. He said, to make life more serene and God-oriented, I want to eliminate from my home clutter, arguing, complaining, and constant TV and other noise. Sometimes you just need to turn off the radio, turn off the television, turn off the computer. I don't know how God will lead you to do it, but what are some things that you may want to do, as Ray Ortland said, to make your life more serene and God-oriented? And then he said, ordering my mental life so as to be constantly in prayer at a deeper level. Those are goals of a 66-year-old man who was still being intentional and purposeful about pressing on toward the mark, pressing on to seek the Lord. Now, let me go to another age range, and a friend of mine named Jenny, who a couple of years ago, when she was 19 years old, sent to me her New Year's resolutions. Again, I won't read all of them, but some, these are, she had really sought the Lord, and these are the things God had put on her heart. And I want to say this because I know we have some young listeners and a lot of moms who have teenagers and children. They're not too young to be thinking about being intentional as they go into a new year. My friend Jenny said, resolved to be truthful with my words, with no exaggeration or deceit. Resolved to practice femininity, modesty, and biblical womanhood so that I may be an example of virtue in a world of confusion. I love that. 19 years old. Resolved to act on things that are eternal and furthering to God's kingdom. And when fallen into temporal living, to cry out for grace that he may once again show me his big picture. Resolved, she said, to love his people with a genuine servant's heart and be available to those who are in need. Resolved to dedicate my life for the cause of revival and pray for the desperate needs of our nation and world. Resolved to take a step further into my pilgrimage of conquering fear of man. And then she said, resolved to know God, to love God, to walk with God, to believe God, to live and die for the glory of God. Now, I want to tell you where she got the words for that last one. This is a gal who, when she was 3 years old, her dad died of a brain tumor. Her dad was Del Faisenfeld Jr. And on his grave marker are written these words. He knew God. He loved God. He walked with God. He believed God. He lived and died for the glory of God. And here's a 19-year-old girl who has never really known her dad since she was 3 years of age, who has been marked by the way he lived, purposefully, intentionally. She's been to that grave marker. She's internalized those words, and she's saying, that's my heart's desire. See, you're living not just for you. You're living not just for your era, not just for your generation, but for those who come behind, that they may find us faithful. That's another reason to live intentionally and purposefully. I'm so glad that Del Faisenfeld Jr. lived an intentional and purposeful life. He impacted my life in a huge way. He's impacted his daughter Jenny's life. And here she comes as a 19-year-old girl saying, that's my resolution too. Last year at this time, I came across a series of questions that Don Whitney had written. He's an author and a seminary professor and a man with a real heart for the Lord. And he came up with a list of questions to ask at the start of a new year. Now, you don't have to just use these at a new year. You can do it at a birthday or other times. And we're going to put those questions up in a PDF form available to you at reviveourhearts.com. And I want to encourage you to go through these questions as I did a year ago. I didn't answer all of them, but I picked out particular ones that spoke to me and that I wanted to reflect on and jotted down some responses. And I want to encourage you to take some time to consider questions like these as you think about the year to come. Here are some of those questions. In what area of your life do you most need change, and what will you do about it this year? In what area of your life do you most need growth? And what will you do about that this year? What one thing do you most regret about last year? And what will you do about it this year? What's one new way you could be a blessing to your pastor or to another who ministers to you this year? What's one thing you could do this year to enrich the spiritual legacy you will leave to your children and grandchildren? What habit would you most like to establish this year? Who do you most want to encourage this year? What area of your life most needs simplifying, and what's one way you could simplify in that area? What's the most important way you will, by God's grace, try to make this year different from last year? What one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? What's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? What's the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? In which spiritual discipline do you want to make progress this year, and what will you do about it? And what's the most humanly impossible thing you will ask God to do this year? Now, I'm not suggesting that you should take time necessarily to answer all of those questions, because you'd probably be going from now till the end of this year. But I would urge you to take time to answer some of those questions. And to ask the Lord, which ones do you want me to focus on? Don't come up with 93 resolutions for the new year, because you will definitely not remember those through the rest of this week. But do come up with a few that God puts on your heart for this year. Maybe just one word, one character quality of Christ that you want to concentrate on this year. One area, the topic that you want to study and see embedded into your life. This is, as I've said, has been kind of the year for me of focusing on meekness. Now, I can't say I've got it down, and I'll still continue growing in that area, I hope, in the year ahead. But I'm asking the Lord for this coming year, what do you want to focus on in my life, and how can I cooperate with you in that? And again, if you go to reviveourhearts.com, we'll give you these and some other questions that you can use as a basis to write out some of your resolutions. Matt Emmons forfeited the gold medal because he didn't aim for the right target. Where do you want to be a year from now? By God's grace, I don't want to be the same person a year from now that I am today. I've got to keep my eye on the target, keep my eye on the mark, ask the Lord, where do you want me to head? And by your grace and the power of your Spirit, show me how to get there for your glory and for the sake of your kingdom.
Oh, I hope you'll take some time to write out the type of resolutions Nancy's been describing. And you'll find a link to that list of questions to help prime your pump in the transcript of today's program at reviveourhearts.com. Nancy's in the first of a 2-day series called Looking Back, Looking Forward. And she's helping us reflect back on the past year and look ahead to what God might do next. When you look back on a year, sometimes you realize how different life has become. Nancy's here to talk about that.
Well, here we are on December 31st, New Year's Eve, and we've been eagerly anticipating throughout this month how the Lord was going to provide to meet our year-end needs. Typically, over 40% of the donations we need for the whole year arrive during the month of December. In fact, a good number of those donations arrive the very last day. So today is significant in our ability to fund the outreaches of Revive Our Hearts in the year ahead. Would you pray with us that many, many listeners would get involved and help us meet the year-end needs on this final day? And if you've wanted to be a part of meeting this need but just haven't done it yet, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com to make your donation. Again, that's reviveourhearts.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Thank you so much for your encouragement, your support, and your prayers as together we anticipate all that God has in store for us in the year ahead. I'd love to pray a New Year's Eve blessing on you. And Father, how we thank you as we look back over this past year that you have been faithful. You've been so good, so kind. You blessed us even when our eyes were filled with tears. We've been able to look up and see your face and see your hand and trust that you are moving, you are working for our good and for your glory. And Lord, now as we're on the cusp of a new year, we want to just stop and pause and acknowledge our need for you and our trust that as you've been faithful in the past year, you will be faithful come what may in the year ahead. You've surprised me with grace and love in an amazing way this year, something I never dreamed would be true. And Lord, I'm asking that you would surprise my friends who are listening today. I don't know what it will be that you will have for them, but I ask for just surprises of grace, times when they would know your amazing love in a greater way than they've ever experienced it before. I ask that you would extend the helping, healing hand of Jesus into hearts and homes that desperately need you to intervene. Oh Lord, how quickly you can turn the desert into a fruitful, abundant place. I pray that you would do that. For those who are suffering, pray that you'd give grace to persevere, to stay the course, and to know your presence in the midst of the pain. So Father, I pray for each listener. Would you strengthen them? Support them, sustain them in this season. Would you continue to sanctify them by your grace? And throughout this year ahead, would you satisfy them deeply with your steadfast love? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nancy. 2024 has seen headlines that are full of war, natural disaster, heartache, and scandal. But Nancy says deep down, you don't have to enter 2025 in fear. Find out why tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Thank you. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.